For generations, the idea of escaping from behind the Iron Curtain was the definition of a suicide mission. The Berlin Wall was a prison tower, in fact, an imagination, symbolizing the Cold War.
As the communist barrier between East and West Berlin grows higher and stronger, the more determined grows the will of those in the East to escape. Along the border, East Berliners are forced to evacuate their homes as the communist police move to prevent their escape.
From 1961 to 1989, the Berlin Wall divided not only the city, but also a nation. It was the fault line of communism. More than 200 people died trying to get over, around, and under that wall. In West Berlin, before the Russians got wise and closed off the passages forever, building tunnels under the wall offered a frightening and slim chance of escape. For two U.S. television networks, the race to get an unprecedented scoop aided the tunnel effort. In the end, only one network would succeed and make history. It's a little-known story documented by Greg Mitchell, author of The Tunnels, Escapes Under the Berlin Wall and the Historic Films the JFK White House Tried to Kill. That book is out today.
The wall was such a brutal barrier because it overnight separated friends and family. 60,000 East Berliners worked in West Berlin. They lost their jobs. So it was more than just a symbol of something. It extremely impacted lives and made East Berlin seem more like a prison.
And it really divided the city, but there was tremendous pressure to get people out.
Yeah, almost from the beginning, there were people attempting to escape via various methods, from swimming across the canals to trying to walk through old subway tunnels, smashing through the wall in trucks. But the East Germans cracked down on all that. And so by early 1962, which is when my book starts, tunneling under the wall became the favored way to try to bring people out. And what was most amazing is, unlike almost every example in history, these were dug from the West to the East, from freedom to people who were, if you want to say, enslaved. So it was not the people trying to dig out themselves. It was people who were already free, who were risking their lives and arrest to dig into East Berlin.
What's the engineering of a project like this?
In some cases, they just would work week after week in the most difficult way, with just shovels and picks and a cart that they would drag back to the West and slowly make this progress. Sometimes the tunnels are only 70 or 100 feet long. One of the two tunnels that I focus on in my book was 400 feet. It started in the basement of a factory in West Berlin, go under the wall, and then under the death strip, which had the border guards, had snipers, dogs, two blocks under there, and came out in the basement of a tenement two blocks further. So this was a massive project. Now, larger tunnels like that, they actually put up wood supports around the side. So it looked somewhat professional, but in many other cases, it was just a hole in the ground.
For a tunnel of that size, I mean, who had to be behind it?
In general, young West Berlin students who are healthy and motivated. But as I show in the book, the two U.S. TV networks funded them in whole or in part, and gave them that kind of support.
And what was the competition between the networks that affected the outcomes of people who used those tunnels?
This was the golden age of the TV documentary. It's hard to believe today, but every week there were primetime specials on the three networks. Now, at that time, CBS and NBC were in a dogfight for ratings. So they were very interested in any kind of scoop or spectacular story like this. And so they're basically CBS with Daniel Shore, a legend in TV and radio, and NBC were in a race to be the first to cover from the inside one of these incredible escape tunnels.
Did you find any evidence that Daniel Shore, a voice who's well known to public radio audiences for his career after CBS, that he had any misgivings about the sort of spectacle of all of this?
As anyone who knew Dan might say, this was his cup of tea.
Yeah.
He was a very contentious, controversial at times figure. And he actually, when his tunnel in August 1962 was basically shut down by the Kennedy administration, he was angry about it the rest of his life. He never really got over it in a way. He felt this would have been one of the great achievements of his life, and it was taken from him for no good reason.
And his vision was bringing families out and having them reunited, you know, in front of the cameras live on network television.
Well, his vision was to cover it, as you say, people escaping. And this is what NBC was able to pull off. When the NBC tunnel, which was not stopped by the Kennedy administration because they did not know about it, when their escape did happen successfully, they did have the cameras there. And they filmed 29 people basically climbing up out of the hole into freedom in West Berlin, an incredibly dramatic footage that later became a landmark television program.
Less than 3 feet wide and 3 feet high. Through this, they crawled, 21 adults and 5 children, 140 yards to West Berlin and a free future. I am Pierce Anderton, NBC News, Berlin.
What was the sense of success? I mean, in other words, you use a tunnel like this once, the East Germans are going to say, all right, we're done with that.
Basically, the final escapes for NBC ended after 2 days because the tunnel was flooded. So that was the end of that. But it was still judged a tremendous success.
Any of the tunnelers still alive?
Yeah, one of the amazing thing I found in this book was almost everyone I wanted to talk to who were intimately involved in these two tunnels. These were even people who broke into the East, you know, literally climbed up into a hole into East Berlin, risked incredible, mind-boggling risks they took, were still alive. And they were in or near Berlin, and they were willing to talk, some of them, for the first time. So the book is based on sort of extensive interviews with all the key participants. It's based on recently declassified documents from the State Department and the White House. It's based on thousands of pages of documents from the Stasi secret police archives in Berlin. So just thousands of pages of sort of exclusive documents and interviews. So I think it's a good combination of real history but also just a sort of an amazing story.
The book is called The Tunnels, Escapes Under the Berlin Wall and the Historic Films the JFK White House Tried to Kill. Greg Mitchell is the author. Thanks so much.
Oh, happy to be here. Thank you.
The Tunnels is out in bookstores today. For an excerpt and photos you can see, visit our website at thetakeaway.org.